Blog Talk Radio.
Play Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Sports City Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Thomas is alive. Sports City, what's going on? We are back in the building. We are at the last Sunday of August. We are getting ready to fall into the month of September. My favorite season, I can't even lie. Fall is about to be around the corner. I give summer, I give you about 4 or 5 weeks. I give you 4 or 5 because, you know, we still got the Indian summer that rolls into the fall. And where I'm at in the northeast region of the United States, it gets all beautiful, trees turn colors, and everybody loves, you know, the atmosphere around here. But again, the call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or more. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chef. The sport world is in a frenzy right now. Baseball is getting closer to the postseason frenzy, the run toward to see who's going to make that October special. Football will be cutting all of their rosters to 53 as of the end of the games today. And we have a significant injury in the NFL, by the way. College football gave us a little steam as of yesterday also. So that's underway. There's a lot of stuff to jump into, and I can't hide too much of it. So first and foremost, I have Barry in the building. The villain is here. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Villain. We started a little late, but never too late. We right on time, brother. How you feeling? I haven't talked to you in a minute, man. How you doing, bro?
Going through so much, man. I trying to make my way back into this East Coast Freya thing. Just got back 2 or 3 days ago, man, and frenzy of stuff going on around me, and I can't even lie. The frenzy of today of this fight got me at the edge of my seat. Mm-hmm. If we had a real amateur type of fighter that has a good, nice knockout punch go up against a fighter that's proven himself in the UFC but has been losing like crazy, makes it just one crazy situation right now. So I'm really concerned about how this fight can go down. Well, how about you? How you feeling? What's going on in the world of the Jordans, you know?
First of all, shout out, rest in peace to my niece, lost a family member. They sent her home yesterday. So, 34 years old, so it was really unexpected and sudden. So shout out to my sister, who's her stepmother and her husband. And my nieces and nephews, praying for them. But I mean, other than that, man, just grinding, man. It's the end of the summer, so the little man's in football, the princess is doing karate and gymnastics and trying to get them getting ready for school. It's, it's that grind. We never take a break. We're always moving. So we here, brother.
Okay, well, I did not know that was going on. Now I'm heartbroken to start the show. I'm up here trying to get up, beating you, put me in a sad situation, man. I'm tired of being emotional.
I'm sorry, man. It is sucky, man. It's just, you know, people younger than us, bro. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, you don't want to get that call. You don't, you know, you just, they should be burying us. You know what I mean? Not the other way around. So,
right.
But you know, God is good, man. You know, he keeps us moving, and we're gonna honor her memory and not, you know, mourn their passing. We're just going to, you know, remember the good and all that good stuff. So.
Okay, we also have Mike in the building. Mike, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Hey, man, I'm good, man. Sorry for the loss. I'm just right now, man, sending love and prayers to all the people down in Louisiana, man. Hurricane's supposed to make landfall around noon today. I know they already dealing with some power outages and all that. I got family and friends. You know, Timeless, one of our brothers from the barbershop is still down there in that area too. So, just sending love and everything to people down in my home state of Louisiana and New Orleans, bro.
How these dudes want to just start up on a somber note? Like I don't know what to do now. Sports City, like,
no,
got me like,
oh,
no, like,
we get that out the way so we can pick things up. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get all that out the way, and then we can pick it up.
Somebody hand me that box of Kleenex over there. I'm not crying. You're crying. I'm not crying.
we got to make the song cry, like Jay said. You know, not enough tears in my eyes, so I got to make the song cry. But we ain't going to go there. We're going to get it out the way, and then we good. Like Mike said, we're going to keep it rolling.
Okay. So I'm going to try and do this the best way that I can. First and foremost, I'm going to start this one mad. So they went from making me emotionally sad and concerned about my brother Duke and the Broussards down there, and also the Jordan family and how closely I am attached to this family. But I'm mad right now. Sports City, I need y'all to vibe with me, right? I am a big sport jerk nut. However, I don't know how to say that. Pause if it sounds funny, but like, I'm heavily rooted in the sports. All my life has been around sports, watching or playing or doing whatever with sports, right? And I am a big college football fan, big, huge. Like, in all any superlative you could add to this, I am, right? Historically, my university has been tied to this team because they took care of business up against us in the 90s, in which 1995, the Nebraska Cornhuskers beat my Miami Hurricanes bad. And this was when I was a Tommy Frazier fan, but I got to pick between a player or my love. I got to go with my love. They got us, right? But all throughout the history of Nebraska football, I respected them, even though it was still awkward to see, like, how they could win games just using the option. It's like, how do they continue to pull this off year after year? Like, somehow it's consistent. You know it's coming and can't stop it. Then the world started to catch up to their option atmosphere, and then they started to like try to enter the passing game into their scheme of things on the offensive side of the ball. Then we see the decline of the Nebraska Cornhuskers. They are one of the teams that started the opening season of college football yesterday and play the Fighting Illini of Illinois and lose 30-22. Now obviously, me to myself, I feel like Nebraska is the better team. Nebraska, to me, period. I mean, we could dress this up as best as you want. I really feel like the Cornhuskers should have been the better team. Scott Frost fought his way to get all the way back to his original school where he's from and did not deliver. So now I'm looking at this loss like, is this another down season for Nebraska? And I kind of tie this into the same situation of the way that Texas looks. Like, does Texas start off on a bad note too, especially when they're trying to move conferences? Now, we have a situation where Nebraska moved from the Big 12 to the Big 10, in which they should have stayed put in the Big 12 because it probably would have looked better. Now they're in the Big 10 and playing teams like the Fighting Illini and them winning the game by a possession, 8 points. They still would have needed a two-point conversion to get it done. But this is troubling to me because Nebraska – is continuing to play football like this, and they do not look like they have any turnaround in the future. I wonder if they can actually get students to come there and turn that thing around and make them the powerhouse that they once were, because I can't look at them being a total pushover but they are looking like that from the years past, and no coach being able to slow this out-of-control covered wagon downhill down. They can't control it. It's just been tumbling, and there's no stop to this. They're going to crash every single year. So I do want to start there, see how you guys feel about this, or am I tripping? Do you guys feel like Nebraska has it in their, you know, in their future to turn this thing around or not? I'll start with you first, Barry. Your thoughts on the loss that they suffered to the Fighting Illini, 30-22, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, you know, I was watching the game. I was just happy to see college football, so that was just welcome sight for me. But I'm sitting here scratching my head. Is Illinois that good, or is Nebraska that bad? You know, they were talking about, you know, head coach Scott Frost wasn't going to be happy after the game. You know, he had a short press conference before that. It's probably going to be in good. So what, dude? Like, I feel like Nebraska isn't stuck in the 90s, but they haven't moved on from Tommy Osborne. They haven't replaced him as a head coach. They haven't had a good quarterback probably there since Frazier. I remember watching him run all over everybody. Including my Seminole. So, I mean, like, I feel like a program like Nebraska and Michigan hasn't, like, progressed and really adapted to the new way of the game. They haven't been able to recruit guys like Ohio State and Alabama can, you know, which you need speed at all positions. And I feel like Nebraska, you know, they may be in the wrong conference, but conference shouldn't have anything to do with it. They should be able to recruit, but nobody's going to Nebraska. Nobody wants to go there. I feel like Martinez has been in college forever. I don't know. I mean, like, I know because of, you know, COVID, they get extra eligibility kind of pushed through and everything, but I feel like he's been in college ever since my kid's been born, and my kids are pretty old. you know what I mean? So, but let's give Illinois credit. They're a solid football team. They had a solid year. I love their head coach. That, you know, he's probably better suited in college than he is in the pros. And they played well at home. They had a lot of on the line emotionally with one of their players passing away after a tragic accident. So they were already juiced up, 97 strong. So you know, listen, they played a good game. Nebraska, you know, hung tough and almost made it a game late, but I just feel like, you know, yeah, they're probably the better team that should have won and they didn't, and it's kind of indicative of everything that's gone on at that Nebraska program.
I think it
Mike,
has
your thoughts
a lot
on
to
this
do with it. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with the way it happened. I mean, listen, Britt Bielema was good at Wisconsin when he replaced your boy who moved on, like, I think after Barry Alvarez stepped down, Britt Bielema did a nice job at Wisconsin for a little while. He went to Arkansas, and he realized that was not a very easy gig. They showed a little flash here and there, but weren't able to win. You know, now he's back in the Big Ten where he was before. Like, I feel like it's probably a job a little more fitting to him than trying to win at Arkansas. So, you know, he's probably, honestly, even though Frost had a couple of good years at Central Florida, Bielema is probably a more proven college coach at this point in their careers. You know, to me, the way that it happened is what blew my mind, was that you had a backup quarterback for Illinois playing the game yesterday. And it was 9-9 early. They reeled off 28 straight points to end up taking that big lead. Nebraska obviously came back and tried to make it a little closer, but I mean, honestly, do I think they're going to be able to come back? No, I don't. Like, I think, you know, this isn't my teenage years, Nebraska, or your father's Nebraska, or whatever. This is you know, you're in the middle of nowhere. It's not as easy to recruit people as maybe it was once before. You're not the highlight in any way anymore in that conference. I mean, you got Ohio State, you got Penn State. I think it's still easier to recruit to Michigan than it is Wisconsin. I mean, than it is to Nebraska. And then you still got Wisconsin, who we talk about every year, you know, puts up is pretty good. So, I mean, at best, what they can hope for, like, to me, the ceiling for Nebraska is to be able to be, you know, the middle of the pack in the Big 10 and maybe occasionally compete for a championship. I think that that's like the best that that program can hope for nowadays.
And I don't want it to be this easy of a like a conversation or a fix or like be acceptable, because I feel like they're better than that. You know, I can't lie. Like, this is what I'm used to. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still like, and I hate to kind of like use personal situations or references, but I'm like bitter from like 2001, 2002, when like Eric Crouch won the national. I mean, we're not the national, the Heisman Trophy over like Ken Dorsey,
mm-hmm.
and then we had to come out there,
yep.
and beat them, because Nebraska was known as that powerhouse and always had that image of being amongst the best. You know what I'm saying? And now looking at them like, wait, you guys came out the gate up against a team that you should have beaten on the road and don't have that legacy anymore, including a former quarterback being Scott Frost that was a part of this university when he played football, went to all other schools across the country and made them successful, including his run, excuse me, down there with UCF, you know, since he left UCF. And knowing that he's probably a target coach that a lot of these players will want to follow behind, that has not come back, nor is it going back to the system that he's used to in coaching, whether he was at Nebraska and that option was there, or when he went to UCF and instilling that situation that was down there in Florida, or coming back home with everything that he's learned across the board, and that has not helped this university right now. So, obviously, to me, the way that this looks, with them losing out of the gate up against Illinois, I feel like this is probably, I want to be hopeful and say that they'll finish slightly above 500 this season. But the way that it's looking, I feel like they're a 500 or worse this season record-wise. I feel like this is going to be a bad scenario for the Cornhuskers again. And it's like, how long do they let Frost sit there and let this happen? This cannot continue to go on and be a situation while being in the Big Ten, while you're going to be on TV every single weekend, because, one, you're a Big Ten team. Number two, you're Nebraska. And number three, Scott Frost is one of those darlings of college football because of what he's done for the sport in, let's just say, a 20 or 30 year span, you know? So I feel a certain way right now. I'm not letting them get off the hook that easy. I'm sorry. This is unacceptable, at least to me.
I think you're right about that seat warming up. I mean, and hotter than what you can warm a seat up to with the seat warmers in your car. Like, the interesting thing about it to me is, like, everybody was talking when he was coming home, like, okay, he loves this state. He knows this state as well as anybody. You know, he's coming back home to restore order to Cornhusker Nation. And right now, the only order that's been restored is them taking a backseat to whoever they're playing right now. Nebraska has got a tough road to hold. The schedule doesn't get a lot easier. And, you know, that's a game you're supposed to win, like you said, Tom. To be able to be competitive this year, that's a game you needed to have. And especially when the other team's starting quarterback goes out, that should give you even more ammunition to get it done.
And you know what it is, guys? Like, this is a team, like, they to this whole offseason talking about how they want to correct the mistakes that, you know, plagued them for the last couple of years. This is a team, to TP's point, where they're 12 and 20 the last 3 years since Frost got there. Like, they have been mediocre
wow.
at best. And
that's overall
they,
record?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like,
yeah.
they spent this time trying to fix everything that they've been, you know, everything that they all the mistakes, all the errors that they've made over the last couple of years. And I'm watching this game, and it's the same movie I'm watching. It's the same sad love song. You know what I mean? Like, they're just not making the right plays. They're not playing smart football. And it's just like, at what point do you say enough's enough?
I don't know how they figure this out, because, again, like I said, this was a college, like the way that I looked at Nebraska from as far back as I can remember till, I want to say, the middle of the 2000s, like the 2000 going into 2010. It's like, how do you not figure out how to stop their option? And they went away from the option and tried to turn it into a normal offense. And that's, I think, somehow, some way, it like caught them in the middle of a crosshair. And now it's like them trying to figure out their identity, and they don't have that identity at all. Of course, they've had players come through there and be influential enough to have an NFL career, so on and so forth. But this is bad. I don't know how they figure this out. I don't know how this is going to be acceptable for them, to, let alone for Barry to hit that number. So out of 32 games out of the last two or three seasons, Barry said correctly, they're 12-20. They're heavily under 500. If they're a 500 team right now, this does not make this acceptable. How long does he sit there and keep the job as well? I don't get it. I don't get it. For the run that he had down there in Florida with UCF to what he looks like right now, this is troubling. And I need answers. I feel like Mike Singletary. I need winners. I'm looking at it like, I want to see Nebraska suffer. But, the heart in me ain't going to watch me watch football like this and, accept that to happen. Of course you got to come out here and play competitive football so the rivalry can come back and people want to go to, Lincoln and play ball with you guys. Nobody wants to go down to Nebraska right now, be in the middle of America and play for a losing school. How does this build up? Nebraska is turning into the Kansas Jayhawks of football.
Hey, Tom, it's a big difference. There's a very big difference, though. When you talk about Scott Frost and what his resume is, there's a big difference in playing in the AAC and the Big Ten.
No, I feel like he should have a better pedigree of athletes in the Big Ten. I feel like that, at least to me. I feel like there would be more players that want to play on the Big Ten scale. They're going to be on TV more than those AAC teams. We didn't see a lot of UCF across the board, across the nation. At least that's how I feel.
We're talking about stupid plays. We're talking dumb plays that they make. Who in their right mind catches a punt at inside the 5-yard line? Who does that? And then he fumbles it for a safety. Give me a – that's just bad football. That's coaching. That's not being prepared for the game. Nobody in their right mind catches a punt inside the 10-yard line, let alone the 5-yard line. It's just stupid mistakes that have gone on for the last couple of years that they haven't been able to correct. They haven't been able to stress that this is not smart football.
And to your point, Barry, he did it again late in the game. They were a 2-touchdown game or whatever, and they stopped him. They got a punt back to him or whatever. And it might have even been when they were trying to come back on when it was a 1-possession game, and they finally got a stop, and they kicked the ball down there, and the guy fair caught the punt inside the 10-yard line again. You're supposed to put your heels on that 9 or 10-yard line, and if it goes over your head, you're supposed to just stay there.
Yeah. It's terrible. You're talking about that kind of play. You're talking about interceptions, roughing the passer, and unsportsmanlike conduct. I mean, that's just not smart football. That's everything that you've been highlighting. It's not smart football, and the buck's got to stop somewhere. You know what I mean? It's got to start with the coach.
So is this his last straw? This season right here is make or break for him. Let's just say they have a 12-game season this year. Is 9-3 the tipping scale? If he falls 8-4 or lower, do they cut their losses, or do they keep him around because he's over 500? Or 6-6 the measuring stick? And if it goes, let's say 5-7, that's where they cut the loss. How do you feel this all pans out?
I'm gonna tell you what. If 9-3 is the standard, you might as well go ahead and book the moving truck.
let's get into a bowl game and play some better football than you've been playing. I can accept tough losses to good teams, but if you're not competitive in those games and you're not making a bowl game, because that's where the money is, right? The universities want that bowl money. So if you're not making a bowl game and you're non-competitive in these games, then pull the plug and start over. I don't know where you go from here, but there needs to be a whole philosophy change.
Time you asked me to repeat it, I said if 9-3 is the standard, you might as well go ahead and book the moving truck, whether you want to go Penske, Budget, U-Haul, whatever you want. You might as well go ahead and book it right now. So I think,
get the Mayflower. Mayflower trucks.
Yeah, I think it matters. I think to Barry's point, it matters how they play, and I understand, but you got to think the last, right before Frost got there, this is a team that got absolutely embarrassed by Iowa. The day after Thanksgiving, it was terrible. Hearing even, I was listening to the Nebraska broadcast just to hear them complain because of how bad it was that day. And so like, I think that there's a lot to be said for how well this team competes against tough teams. Listen, they had a lot of one possession losses last year, so they did compete in a lot of these games that they weren't able to get over the hump in. But I will also say, to your other point, like, if this happens, and even if they do compete pretty well this year, but the record leaves something to be desired, so they don't win as many games as maybe people think they should have, I think next year is put up or shut up. And next year it's not going to matter how well you compete. You're going to have to show me the wins. We're going to be taking the Al Davis philosophy when it comes to the Nebraska program. Just win, baby, or get out of here.
Okay. We do have a chef in the building calling in from Wales, the United Kingdom, or Great Britain, however I'm supposed to say this. Please forgive me if I'm beating this up, but we have Rodri Jones in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this afternoon there, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, afternoon, yeah. Good day, boys. How's it going? I'm excited as I yesterday, just seeing the college football back and just, you know, Corso and game day and getting excited over here. Yeah, Ty, no, you're in the right area, Ty. Europe is definitely where I'm from. Wales. Just a lot of English, Welsh, you know, Great Britain is the right way to go, you know. They don't like, English people don't like us calling them Welsh, Scottish, Irish. But, Wales is fine. It's doing a good job.
Okay, so your thoughts on what you've heard thus far, because I've been seeing you putting your hand up and down, up and down, up and down. I'm trying to introduce you the right way to get you in the building. Your thoughts on what you've heard, and especially from the game, if you did see the game, your thoughts on Nebraska losing to Illinois 30-22.
Yeah, I think Scott Frost was mentioned as, you know, potential NFL coach. Come out like that, you know, and just lay an egg. You got Trell Albert, he's the athletic director there. Got to look towards him as well, I think. Certainly, like you guys mentioned, some of the mistakes that was made were just basic high school football, peewee football mistakes that you just don't make in the Big Ten, you know. And it was just terrible representation of Big Ten football, I thought. They got a long way to go. You know, they got some good young talent there that they're looking at, you know, for the draft and things like that. But really, that doesn't matter. It's a team game. It's the ultimate team game, and just didn't see it at all yesterday. The Illinois punter, for me, was outstanding. He just put them back and just really set them in bad field position all day. But overall, just good to see football back. But Scott Frost, man, just disappointing start to the season.
Just like, I guess, more or less like Mike said, this is a situation where they lost if they do fall under 500 this season. And I feel like I'm putting a high anticipation on them going 9-3 just to, like, give them room for error. Don't think that they're going to go 11-1. If they do, then this will be a hell of a season or turnaround for Nebraska to get it done. But this will be favorable for them because, you know, they try their hardest to try to keep these guys in here without having – ruffle feathers or smoke or having that hot seat burn. So, but Nebraska has to turn this around because they've gone a whole, at least to me, like 10 solid years of not being relevant. Only thing that's kept their relevancy is the name of the university. Like that, and
I'll take the under.
To me, you see what I'm saying? Like to me, it's like I feel like they should be better than this. They have a long lineage and legacy that they have to follow behind. And for them to get to where they were, they're going to need like at least two or three seasons of going like 9-3, 10-2 for people to be like, hey, they're building that back. Let's get kids to come there. Because right now ain't no kids with all of the money that's going around college football now, all of the people that are trying to get students to go other ways and get to the pro ranks and things of that nature. Nobody's trying to go to Nebraska and watch them lose and have to be All-American athletes at whatever position that they play to make a difference in the NFL. Like that, I feel like that's an uphill battle to me. I don't know.
What's funny to me is Osborne leaves, right, when Tommy Osborne finally steps down. Frank Solich takes the job. And all Frank Solich does is win 9 or 10 games a year, 9 games every season for a few years, and they run him off because he doesn't meet the standard. And then, quite honestly, they've never been able to bring a coach in that did as well as Frank Solich, and he was just fine. I mean,
exactly.
He had to go to the MAC, and he went to Ohio. But that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes the bar is not where you think it should be. And like I said, I would take under on 8 wins for Nebraska right now in Vegas pretty confidently. So, like I said, they better compete pretty well. If you're looking for 9, let's go ahead and book the moving truck. Let's go ahead and book the moving truck right now.
I just think that would be relevant since Sam can sue. I think when he left, have we seen him be as dominant since? I don't think we have. And that was just one player. I think like they need another force like him, just somebody to come in and just so you know, just be able to change the game. But they don't seem to have anybody in particular that could do that. I mean, there's a couple of good players, but not like other teams in the division, in the conference.
So do you think they finish under 8 wins, Rodri?
Yeah, I do. I mean,
Barry, you as well?
10 division titles.
No, finish, Rodri.
No,
I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead and finish, Rodri. Go ahead.
No, it's like, you know, they don't go record all the time. They've won 10 division records. Just like, there's not much, you know, the expectation, I don't think, coming in was pretty big, but all we can go on right now is what happened yesterday. And I think looking at that, then no, there's no chance. I mean, they got a lot to do. I think Scott Frost is capable of turning around, but I don't know. It's like college football changes week to week as well. We got to remember that. But they need some continuity. They need some sort of, yeah, they just need a good kick up the butt, you know, and see what they could bring out next week.
Okay,
just
Barry, just talk. Do they finish?
Oh,
no, finish, Mike. I'm sorry. I keep calling everybody off. I got to shut up.
No, you're good.
Go ahead, finish.
No, you're good. I was just going to say, just in the division, I think they probably lose. They already lost to Illinois, which is kind of surprising, but I think they're going to lose to Iowa. I think they're going to lose to Minnesota. So there's a couple of them right there. They're probably going to lose to Wisconsin. And then I'm not sure who they play from the East, but if they got Ohio State this year, we know that's trouble too. So, I think they're going to do good to get 8 wins, and they're going to probably have to beg, steal, and borrow to get those.
Okay, Barry, I heard you trying to I was trying to get you in there.
listen, TP, I don't know how they get to 7 wins because they should be 3-0 going into a big game against Oklahoma, right? At Oklahoma. They just lost one of those games. So at best 2-1, right? Into their fourth game against Oklahoma. But then they got Michigan State, they got Northwestern, they got Michigan, Minnesota, Purdue. Then they finish with Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. You tell
Lord.
Me where there's
That's
7
true,
wins. I mean,
no,
you just tell me. I don't see them beating. I don't see them beating Northwestern. I don't see them competing against Minnesota or Purdue. Like. It's going to be if they're 500, you know what, send them flowers. Don't send the moving truck. Send them flowers. Because
they might not get five.
Wow. That boy's being brutal now. Jeez. Okay, well I couldn't hear you. Say it again. I couldn't
hear Martinez as well. Just not happening.
I'm trying to be particularly optimistic for them, even though I don't feel it either. And this is the one thing that I struggle with is that there are other coaches in college football, and I don't want to get as controversial as possible, but I hide a little too much on these situations. I try to stay as less controversial as possible, but it does happen across the board where favorites or people that they favor or darlings get the opportunity more than other individuals across the board. And all of you know me, and I'm trying to shield this as best as I possibly can. But I wonder if they do keep him. I wonder if they do let him go. And hold them to the same standards that they hold other coaches in these scenarios, but I don't feel it. I don't feel it. I feel like this is an uphill situation. So moving right along, we got the NFL season getting ready to kick off. Preseason is coming to an end. The last series of games will be today. A lot of these teams will be making their cuts to the 53-man roster. And the crazy part is we have a big, significant injury right now in Baltimore. And J.K. Dobbins could potentially be facing a season-ending injury. They're thinking that it is a ligament. How big of a detriment this situation is to Baltimore is troubling to me because this team has been built off of run. The bad part about it is they just watched Mark Ingram go to the Houston Texans and them, you know, confiding in J.K. Dobbins, and for J.K. to go down right now is really Gus the Bus and Lamar toting the ball. So, of course, they're probably going to have to go out there and get another running back to help at least fill that running game up as best as possible. But this is a story that people have to be concerned with because, to me, I'm not a Raven fan, but I am a Lamar Jackson fan, and I do want to see him successful. But this definitely sets him up for him having to show that he can throw the ball. And not saying that he can't, but a lot of people want to see him throw more or complete more passes. And even in a couple of those postseason runs where he's hitting these guys in the breadbasket, they were dropped, and they still held him to the fire. So this situation is there's a lot of eyes and cameras that are going to be on Baltimore to see if Lamar can do this while their running game is taking the hit at this point in time. I want to see how you guys feel about this as we move forward. I'll start with you first on this one, Roger, as you enter the kitchen. Your thoughts on the scenario that Baltimore faces with J.K. Dobbins potentially missing the season.
Yeah, what a hell of a loss. He'd be tight. Your boy, Gus the Bus is up then. Nick Boyle is down as well, the receiver. He's coming back, though. Just look at the difference for them yesterday when Mark Andrews was playing. Oklahoma tight end, he was outstanding. He wasn't healthy during the playoffs last year, so he saw a massive drop-off in form from that offense. They brought in Sammy Watkins to go along with Hollywood. So they got Hollywood Brown and Sammy Watkins now. But they brought in Tylan Wallace, Prochet is there, Devard Duvernay is there. So they've got some receivers for Lamar to throw to. So it's interesting what you just said, whether, you know, it's gonna be down on the arm of Lamar Jackson this year, and they've got some weapons for him. And I love the fact Mark Andrews looked outstanding yesterday. We had seen Villanueva back there now with Ronnie Stanley protecting him. And inside they've got some big guys as well, so he's going to be protected. But J.K. Dobbins, he's the ball carrier. I thought he was going to have a huge year this year. I think everybody knew they were going to lean on him for quite a bit. So it's a massive loss. And your boy Ty gets the buses up. And we've seen. I said to James last week on our show that, you know, that. The Rams are going to trade for a running back with a fifth round, and they did. They took Sony Michel. So, you know, you can get Sony Michel for a fifth round pick as a former first round pick. So the running back position is not a lot of value there at the moment, you know, because of the way the league is. It's a passing league, so you can probably get a good back, a running back. But Gus looked really good yesterday when he was running the ball. I know it was preseason, but he did look really good. Rashad Bateman as well, the rookie wide receiver, was there, so they got a passing game. They're obviously going to miss him, but I don't think it's going to change what they're going to be able to do in the division. But obviously, it's a massive loss of talent. And Mark Ingram, you know, the trust is he's in Houston, so that's disappointing. That's disappointing that he's not there. They could really do with him right now, but Hill is there as a backup as well, so they've got. They got him as an option, but yeah, it's a huge loss, Ty. There's no question about that, bro. And Justice Hill is another one that they can plug in. I think he's gonna have to step up early for them. And after that, then it's rough, you know. It's unproven. Tyson Williams and Nick McCray. So J.K. Dobbins, that's a huge loss.
Well, That's what I call a chef being prepared, because I sure was looking at that depth chart at the same time he did it. So he covered every single body that needed to be covered in a depth chart. Because I'm like, Gus is the guy that I know personally, being a former Hurricane. He had to leave because of, you know, he wasn't getting touches. But just looking at the rest of it, you know, Justice Hill is questionable. Tyson Williams, like he mentioned, in McCrary, like, I think Tyson probably be next up depending on what Justice is facing right now. But J.K. Dobbins was one of the feature backs they were going to go with. So this is all off the fly, especially with them a week or two away from addressing the regular season. Like, the season is here. So I don't know. I want to go around the building and see how you guys feel about this moving forward. Mike, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on this situation that Baltimore is facing, especially Lamar Jackson. You know how we deal with this discussion every single day. With the Lamar Jackson situation.
Right.
And the way that the depth chart is looking and how this passing game is definitely going to have to be prevalent for their success, your thoughts on everything that they're facing while the regular season looms?
Well, first of all, I still want to say shame on the Baltimore Ravens organization as a franchise for a couple of things. But you got a guy who has the ability and who could be a transcendent talent. And the best you can do in the offseason is Sammy Watkins. I'm not saying Sammy Watkins isn't a decent player, but come on, y'all. Get this man a true, legit number one wide receiver, especially when you know how much scrutiny he's getting around the league and for fans, whatever, about his arm. Get him a true, legitimate number one receiver. They got receivers on the team. Like you said, you just ran down them. A guy from across the pond right there. I mean, laid it out better, you know, as well as anybody could. But there's no true legitimate number ones, and that's why – and Sammy Watkins, to be honest with you, like one of the other problems that I've seen with him over the course of his career is just being able to stay healthy and stay on the field. So that being said, that concerns me in the passing game. I do love Mark Andrews as a player. You know, you look at this depth chart, we've seen Gus the Bus some. But to me, like, I look at everybody else on that depth chart, and then I look around – and I understand that, like, this, the man I'm about to mention has had some different problems and whatever else. But I would give strong consideration to making a call to Mr. Le'Veon Bell. He still doesn't have a team. He still needs some help in the backfield. And the guy still, I think he's still got some good football left in him. And you know, lost Mark Ingram. So J.K. Dobbins was supposed to be that guy this year. And now you don't have him. I would call a guy who's been a proven producer in this league to try to give you some depth in the backfield.
I don't think they have a choice. Like, Le'Veon would definitely be an instant impact running back to help out, like, especially while he's out there on the loose, too. I think they have no choice but to make that move. Barry, your thoughts on the situation the Ravens face? Do they go after a Le'Veon Bell type of guy? Do you think they stick with the guns that they have right now that know the offense, especially while they're approaching week one? Your thoughts at the running back position?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Roger. I think it's a loss. I think it's a big loss, but I think they can kind of weather the storm. I think the Ravens have faith in Gus Edwards. He had a good game in his preseason. He had a good season last year. I think he averaged over 5 yards a carry. So they gave him a nice little contract extension to make sure he stayed in Baltimore to be the second stringer, kind of like, you know, a dual threat, basically three-headed monster. They like Tyson Williams. I've seen some good things from him as well. So they should be able to weather the storm. But to Mike's point, I think, you know, they have problems along the outside in general, and they've always had these issues. You know, I think bringing in Rashad Bateman was a nice draft pick, but now he's hurt, most likely going to miss the first game. He might get back in action, but – you know, they're just starting to kind of drop like flies or drop like Ravens, I guess you could say, in Baltimore. You know, it's I think a call to Le'Veon Bell would be a smart way to look at it. I look at probably Gurley, Todd Gurley. He came in and went for an interview, and I thought he wasn't going to leave Baltimore without a contract, and they didn't sign him. So maybe there's an issue with his knee that he can't hold up. But I think if you're looking for him to just kind of give you 10 carries a game, why not bring him in? And you don't have to pay him a lot of money. Just bring him in for a few carries to kind of spell some guys, especially now Edwards has to be thrust into that main role. you know, he might need a breather or two. So I look at them. I think probably, you know, within the first couple weeks of the season, they're bringing in a running back to kind of come in and be a backup. So it's a big loss, but I think this team has issues on the other side, on the outside, that they need to cover up. The running game is going to be the running game. I always think it's going to work there. So, but Baltimore, it's a tough division. They got a lot of work to do to catch up to the Browns and the Steelers.
Real quick, Thomas, I watched him last year a little bit in Atlanta too, and with all the injuries and whatever else, to all due respect to Todd Gurley, at times he's been very explosive, but that explosiveness is gone. Those would be completely empty carries. And at least Le'Veon Bell still has something in the tank.
This should be pretty interesting, man. And the one thing that you said, Barry, about the Todd Gurley situation, I don't think that the Ravens would try to mess with Gurley as much as they do try to run the ball. That would be interesting if they did go to Gurley. I think Le'Veon would be the quick, instant impact that they could try to go with right now. But if they did go with Gurley, I want to see how much he can give them, especially while, you know, they do RPO a lot. And if he's ready to make this as his last, I want to say his last three seasons left in him. And I feel like I'm pushing it with three, but we'll see. We'll see. But as preseason is coming to a close, say that again, I'm sorry.
What about AP? What about Adrian Peterson?
No, stop. They need to stop. Stop. And I don't even like that anymore. Like, Adrian Peterson is done. Like, let him go. Like, What does he have left to prove now? At least to me. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? Am I being brutal? I feel like I am being brutal, but like I feel like I'm telling the truth. You know, like what is Adrian Peterson gonna do? Like he came to you know, the situation in Detroit and didn't have that scenario work well while he was in Detroit, and I feel like this is more or less like a showcase of what he can be. Like, Adrian Peterson is gonna be what, 37 this season? And didn't really have that great of a season in Detroit, even though that I'm putting him behind Detroit's line. But still, like, is he able to go to Baltimore and make a difference? I don't know. Like, because it's been a move for the past three seasons. He's been moved across the league from the football team to Detroit to now a free agent, and nobody's trying to touch him. Is this a force to get him to be playoff relevant for the Ravens or an AFC running back, championship-type level running back? Like, I don't know. I want to see how you guys feel about it. I mean, we could throw this one around the kitchen and see. I mean, Barry, do you think it would be a good move to go after AP to try to bring him to Baltimore, or am I jumping the gun? And we do have people in queue as well that I'm going to try and get in here also.
Yeah, I mean, you could bring him in right after me. But, I mean, real quick, I kind of don't see it with Peterson. I think he would be a fit because he's a downhill runner and it's a power running team, but – I don't know how much tread is left on those tires, man. Like, he might be wearing those all-weather tires to the bone, man. Like, I don't know. So, he did some nice things in Detroit, but not consistently enough. I just think I think that's not the way to go.
Okay, we do have Mr. Controversy and Aaron in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How the two of you feeling this morning?
You know what, gentlemen, I feel good. Good to be back in the building with a lot of you guys, man. I'm not going to waste anybody's time. I'm going to pick right up where you guys left off. This whole situation with J.K. Dobbins is annoying and frustrating. And again, I'm taking my Steeler hat off for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the man, the player. You work so damn hard all season to get ready for a regular season and, you know, to go down, you know, at this type of, you know, at this particular point, it's frustrating. Like, you know what I'm saying? You see the regular season, you know, coming up on the horizon, and, you know, for him to go down like this, it's tough. Now, with that being said, football still has to be played. So, I think first of all, I thought the Ravens were in trouble to begin with. You know what I'm saying? My thing is this, okay? When you are one-dimensional to this degree, you really can't flip a switch and become, you know, a balanced team. You know, there were wide receivers this offseason that had the opportunity to sign with Baltimore and chose not to based off of the system and the style that they choose to run. So you can't necessarily say, get this man a wide receiver, get this man a wide receiver, when the wide receivers are coming in for interviews and coming in, you know, meeting with offensive coordinators and meeting with position coaches and choosing other options for less money or choosing to go other places where they have more opportunity to get the ball and to do different things based off of the scheme and the system that is ran. No slight to the Ravens. I mean, they have mastered what they have done. You know what I'm saying? With Lamar Jackson and the plethora of backs and this, that, and the third, but the people that they have in the building have bought into a system. And so that's the first point. The second point, even when you draft somebody, like my man alluded to a second ago, their first-round draft pick hurt, may not play week one, week two. We have no idea. Sammy Watkins stays on the injury report list. You know what I'm saying? He's had two good years his whole career, and other than that, he's been in and out of the lineup. Mark Andrews, again, need no endorsement from anybody here. This dude is great, one tight end. I dare say he's on that Kittle Kelsey level because of the sheer volume that he gets from Lamar Jackson and the way he does with the football in his hands as far as yak yards and things of that nature. So I'm not going to throw shade at Mark Andrews. But ultimately, when you start talking about who to bring in to kind of replace the loss of a J.K. Dobbins, obviously Gus Edwards gets first crack at it. You know what I'm saying? The backup Hill gets the second crack at it. But when you start talking about possibly bringing in Le'Veon Bell, again, Steeler hat aside, I don't think that necessarily meshes with what the Baltimore Ravens do. And I want to say this. If you can't get along and do well in Kansas City and you are the Le'Veon Bell type, I'm not too sure going to a smash mouth down the hill running system is going to really elevate your status or really, you know, put you in a position to be successful. I understand you want to check. I understand you want, you know, you got bills to pay and your rap career is some trash and, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the third. But ultimately, if you're Le'Veon Bell, you want to get to a place where you are, once again, the focal point, which you will not be, where you're getting the ball upwards of 15 to 20 times a game, which you will not, and ultimately which will be used out of the backfield, which, again, if you're splitting reps and, you know, doing, you know, all this type of switching in and switching out, which you're not going to be. So I don't think Le'Veon Bell is going to land there. The guy I want you guys to keep an eye on is something I heard on a show a couple of days ago, and that's David Johnson. And the thing with David Johnson is I think that he, although he's much older in years, I think that this is a guy who can come in on the back half of his career, i.e. of Ingram from a couple seasons ago, and just spell Gus Edwards and just spell and kind of be that adult in the locker room, in the running back room, and kind of be that guy who can kind of bridge the gap and kind of add some checks to the end of his career and then ride him to the sunset. With that being said, I'll, you know, stop and let my man Controversy say some thanks.
All right, I'll go ahead and just grab the mic right away from this. I agree with everybody else on the panel. I'm not feeling Adrian Peterson. It is time for him to walk up to the sunset. Would it be a terrible move if you're looking for a spark for a couple of weeks? Not really, but Gus Edwards should get the original look. And I mean, I agree with a lot of the different names out there, but I'm going to throw one more out there that I've seen out there. Played pretty good in his time with Detroit. And when we're thinking about downhill power runners, I mean, Bo Scarborough's got to be an option and probably the cheapest option.
I think the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. Okay. I saw when I checked a couple of weeks ago, he must have still been available, but then in that case, I wouldn't be completely opposed to like a Duke Johnson or even a TJ Yeldon who's sitting out there in free agency. There's not a lot of pickings. I mean, most of the players have pretty much been taken up by now, but I think they're probably better off with people on their roster currently than people that are currently on the market.
The only two things I would say in response to these two gentlemen is I would take Adrian Peterson over Todd Gurley. That's about the only
Definitely.
That I would say
definitely,
on that.
Definitely.
And at this point, when you look at how close he is to the regular season and he doesn't have a job, right now Le'Veon Bell can't really, if he wants to play, get to a point now where he can't afford to be very picky as far as where he goes, especially considering that some of these other teams are about to, you know, make those final cuts. I'm not sure if the deadline is today or if they pushed it back to, like, next week because, you know, a lot of times it's, like, right before, like, 4 or 5 days before the regular season starts. So I'm not sure what the deadline is now with the way the new preseason schedule is set up. But you always see one or two guys, a couple guys at big positions that are worth taking a gamble on. So, you know, this is that window right now before all those final cuts. If he wants to go somewhere, if somebody gives him a call to consider going. I agree that it's not the most ideal fit, but it wouldn't be a bad place for him to go.
I think you hit the nail on the head, honestly, when you start talking about, you know, people kind of combing through people's, you know, cuts and kind of seeing who doesn't make the 53, you know, on these other teams. I mean, if the Ravens going to bring in a guy, I could see them going that route before reaching out into the scrap heap of, you know, free agent running backs because, I mean, we all sat here and ran through the list. You know, the free agent running backs, you know, I think they're free agents for a reason. I mean, I honestly believe that if Le'Veon Bell wanted a check, he would have been at somebody's training camp by now. But that's just me.
Okay, we have another injury situation in the NFL. T.Y. Hilton is also being evaluated for an upper back neck injury. And this is an interesting situation because of the new quarterback that they have there, Carson Wentz, and his injury history and him fighting his way back to at least start for week one, and T.Y. probably being his biggest or best feature at the receiver position. I want to see how you guys feel about this while the Colts have to try to rebuild themselves to be back in this driver's seat, if you will, of the AFC South, even though right now the way that I look at it, I think that Tennessee takes that over. But there's a lot of scrutiny that Timeless holds towards Ryan Tannehill. James Greenwood would know a lot about me and him and the way that I talk jungle about Tannehill. But Tannehill's actually been playing decent for the past couple of seasons, and I think he could spell a lot of that to King Henry. But how do you guys feel about the Indianapolis Colts with at least T.Y.'s situation? I don't think it's as devastating as an injury of Dobbins, but I want to see how you guys feel about this big-time receiver moving forward. Barry, I'll come to you. Your thoughts on T.Y. and the Indianapolis Colts and their injury issues across the board.
I mean, you know, 31 years old, he's starting to get up there a little bit. You know, he's had some really great seasons, more notably, obviously, with Andrew Luck. But, you know, now getting a quote-unquote top-tier quarterback. I wouldn't say top-tier, but a better quarterback than they've had in the past before they got Rivers last year. You know, you thought he was going to bounce back. You know, there was rumors that he was going to go to Baltimore. And he decided to come back on that 1 year deal, which was really surprising to me. Cause he only signed 1 year. So to your point, it's kind of, it's not as devastating. I don't think he'll be lost for the full year. You know, he's getting evaluated. So we don't know if it's going to be the first week, the first month, et cetera. So, you know, I think they can weather the storm until he gets back because they got a really good running back there that they can feed in Mac and kind of weather that storm. So, but if it's a prolonged thing, I'm looking for them to probably make some moves and try to replace it. But hopefully it's not too long because he's a good guy. He's a really talented receiver, and you know you just hope that it's not serious. It's not something that is prolonged.
Okay, how about you on this one, Aaron? Your thoughts on the Colts, how they are addressing this situation with T.Y., the Carson Wentz scenario too, how he's plugging himself back in, especially with the quarterbacks that are behind him trying to fight for a job also. But I definitely think Carson is the best quarterback out of anybody in that depth chart. But the Colts and the issue that they're addressing at the start of the game, or the start of the season, excuse me.
You know, honestly, Ty, this is another guy who just can't seem to get right. You know, I spoke about Sammy Watkins when talking about the Baltimore Ravens. You can throw T.Y. Hilton in that same pile. You know, this is a guy who honestly just can't stay healthy. And it's unfortunate because the Indianapolis Colts, you know, depend upon how you look at it and what sports book you look at it, you know, have some Super Bowl aspirations. And I think T.Y. was going to play a pivotal part in making sure they get there. But, again, this is a team that has been dealing with, you know, players being hurt all offseason. You just, you know, alluded to Carson Wentz. You know, the offensive lineman, you know, was also, I think his name is Nelson, he was also hurt a good portion of training camp and preseason or whatever the case may be. This is par for the course. I think this is really not going to derail, so to speak, the Indianapolis Colts from reaching their goals. I think he was just going to be an integral part. And, you know, again, he's been there. He's been there the whole time. He's been there. So as opposed to what the Baltimore Ravens are dealing with when it's talking about going out and picking up a free agent running back, I think it would be very easy for the Indianapolis Colts to go pluck a camp casualty, if you will, off a scrap heap and plug him in and get him up to speed. I think that this Colts team is really going to make a legitimate run. That defense is legit, and if Carson Wentz is able to return to form with his previous offensive coordinator, they're going to be fun to watch.
Legitimate run at what, the AFC South playoffs? What are we doing here? Tell me what you're doing before I move away from it.
I think the Indianapolis Colts can make a legitimate run at a Super Bowl. I don't think they win the AFC South. I don't think the Tennessee Titans win the AFC South. I don't.
Okay, the Titans win the AFC South. The Colts are making a run at what, the Super Bowl, you said?
Yeah, I think they can make a legitimate run at it if they stay healthy. That defense is legit, and I honestly believe that if Carson Wentz is able to rekindle some type of magic that he had with his former offensive coordinator, you got a legitimate running game, you got a legitimate receivers on the outside. You know, although T.Y. Hilton has gone down, I think, as I said, you can literally go and pluck somebody and plug them into that spot. I'm not picking the Colts to win the AFC, but they can make a run at it.
Jessica, I don't know where you are, but get away from him. Move away from him. Something has to go.
She's out here. That's the funny thing. My wife is actually in Georgia right now. She's in Georgia.
Oh. So she better not be FaceTiming you on some other phone. She got to be doing something. Or Malik must got the ratchet to him. Something got to be going on. Like, I don't know what's going on. But please, if anybody's down there. Excuse me, if there's anybody in the Virginia area, please go save a Simmons. Listen, this is SAS, save a Simmons, please. I see someone now, he's acting up, and he just got out of church. He done went to church, and he acting up. Okay, so let me get away from him because he's acting out of line here. I mean, do people want to add on? Now, he might just spill a whole other can of beans and get niggas down. Now this might start up a whole other war. I don't think the Colts are playing Super Bowl.
Can I do like Paul Fishing? Allow me to retort. Like,
what
are we talking about?
I want to comment on Hilton, though, too.
I just got to get it out. I like the Colts, Super Bowl contenders. Next caller.
So here we go. Ty Hilton is a guy that he's right about that. He just can't seem to stay healthy. Last year was the healthiest he's been in a few years. And so he was a guy, you know, the veteran of the receiver corps. But that team is the thing is that is a very mediocre division. You know, Houston's going to be bad. Jacksonville's still very, very young. And so Jacksonville's not going to be that good. You don't have to be that good to finish second in that division. And if you finish second, if you are good on certain weeks against certain teams, you know, in other divisions, you have a chance to be competitive and a chance to be in the playoff picture. If the Colts make the playoffs, that's a win for them this year. I don't know that that's going to happen, but you know, you're right. Carson Wentz has been a problem too, and time you said it, other people at the quarterback position. Well, we're going to be looking at like Jacob Eason or Sam Ehlinger playing quarterback if Wentz goes down, and thinking that this team is going to be a legitimate contender. Like, listen, have the biggest question I have about the Tennessee Titans is that defense. I know they got some other players to get a little bit better, but I also feel the same way about Ryan Tannehill. Like, I think that he's not a great quarterback, but even if he does play bad this year, I just don't see the Colts being able to win that division.
No, Titans got new toys. They got Julio Jones, right? TP.
Right.
So they got toys to play with. So, I mean, that's why I think the Titans are better than the Colts right now. Even though the Colts have a better defense, I think offensively the Titans are a little bit better. And to your point, the Jaguars, they're young, and Urban Meyer is going to ruin that team. I'm just putting it out there.
Uh-oh. Now, a whole nother discussion. Look at these dudes. These dudes are going crazy in the kitchen, man. The caller number is 929-477-2759. I'd like to hear more from this. James, your thoughts on this situation. Do you think the Colts are a Super Bowl contending team? I mean, am I jumping the gun? Let me know. Or do you know how the AFC South could be won? Is it between the Titans and the Colts? Yeah, I'd really want to excuse the Texans and the Jaguars. I feel like they'll finish at the bottom, but I feel like there's still a little flair because I actually, in one of my fantasy leagues, I did pick up Trevor Lawrence as a passer. I'm not looking at him winning games. But I think he could put some stats up on the board. But your thoughts on how the Colts address the situation and how far they can go. We got people thinking that they could go as far as the Super Bowl. I mean, your thoughts.
I'm not buying a Super Bowl bid for the Colts, but I think that they have a chance to win the division. I think they're not too far off of what the Titans are out there offering right now. If you needed me to bet on one, I'd probably bet on the Titans, but it's not as crazy to think that the Colts will be a reasonable playoff team or even perhaps win the division. That's kind of where I see them at, and then they'll probably lose in the wild card divisional depending on where they sit. At least that's where I see them right now. But, I mean, it's not out of the picture that they don't make playoffs either because the AFC is a lot stronger than it's been in the past couple of years. As far as T.Y. Hilton goes, they'll just let Paris Campbell work it until T.Y. Hilton comes back. Dante Moncrief recently got released from the Houston Texans, so there is potential that he ends up in Indianapolis as well. He did play okay there for a couple of years, but I wouldn't see them going real hard on any like big name players in trades or free agency like that. I don't think so.
We'll have Rodri, your thoughts on this scenario, following up from what you've heard. Do you think the Colts can make a push at? I don't want to keep holding his feet to the fire, but he said it. I don't care. Listen, are they a Super Bowl team, playoff team? Can they win the AFC South? How far do you think they go? And also dealing with this injury right now with Wentz fighting his way back into the roster, T.Y. Hilton having an injury that he has to address now too.
Yeah, well, they have that T.Y. Hilton healthy for two seasons, and they made the playoffs last year. So I don't know what the question is. I mean, this is a team that's playoff ready. This defense is already playoff ready. Zach Pascal is the next man up, and they got Michael Pittman behind him. Then you know they won. They were doing great with that last year. The three-headed monster at running back. I mentioned Jonathan Taylor. Naheem Hines on third down has been fantastic, unbelievable. And Carson Wentz is it to reignite his career, and the Frank Reich who you've had his best career with. So I mean Frank Reich. And, you know, Eberflus is a defensive coordinator. I hope he's not a head coach in this league is beyond me. Matt Eberflus is outstanding. So he'll have him ready to play. I watched the preseason game against Detroit on the weekend. Rocky Sin, I don't think he's going to make his league looking good. But Kenny Moore and Xavier Rhodes, two talented corners. And Darius Leonard is going to, you know, DeForest Buckner, they're pro bowlers. They're all pros, you know. And they'll have that defense playing. So, it's Tennessee and it's Indianapolis. I think we can. It's going to be hard for the Texans to come back, but you know, all this runs behind Big Q, Quentin Nelson. If they can get him back healthy, they're going to need him at 100%. And Eric Fisher's going to come back at some point because Anthony Costanza has gone down. So it's Will Holden at the moment, but they need Eric Fisher back, and then they can get back to their ways. But let's be honest, T.Y. Hilton hasn't been a feature for them for two seasons now. And No, it's a bit of a loss, but it's not something they're not used to. You know, the players like Mike Strachan have stepped up in preseason. You know, can he come in and do something? Maybe a trade somewhere. But Paris Campbell and Zach Pascal and Michael Pittman Jr., son of Big Mike, you know, with the big arms, he's got to continue his rise, because he had a decent rookie year last year, and looked good in the playoffs as well. His game sort of looked better as the season went on. So, yes, you know, and Ryan Kelly, Quentin Nelson, when they get together on the line, Glowinski, Braden Smith, it's continuity, and it's a powerful. Powerful running game, and it's hard to stop that running game. You know, Mark and Jonathan Taylor, and then Naeem Hines on third. So yeah, they can definitely win the division. I think, yeah. I'll make a push.
Okay, everybody got to speak on the Colts before we move forward, right? Before I don't want to act like I missed anybody. I want to make sure we take care of that. And we got people saying that they're Super Bowl relevant, so that really has me pushing it.
Yeah, that almost derailed the whole show right there. Thanks, Sirius.
Right. Oh,
no,
so you're laughing.
Doing my
are
job,
you have
doing my job.
Barry, you have jokes? Barry, do you have jokes? Are you laughing at him?
No. I'm laughing at Sirius, because, I mean, Sirius is serious. I mean, he was serious.
Right. Well, I have some new... I have some news. You know his nickname. He's playing around. That's what I call. I don't call him serious. Listen, but I have some news coming out of East Rutherford, New Jersey. If you want to hear it, we have people cheating in New Jersey, aka the New York Giants
really?
Organization. Ryan Anderson received a 6-game ban for PED use. What's going on, Marvin?
That.
The kid from Alabama?
Yes, the linebacker. They're cheating. They are cheating in New Jersey. But see, I know, that's the thing about Barry and his team. Like, he's used to seeing these people cheat, like the Yankees and all they steroid use and the Magnum stuff. And now there's like, now I get it. Now I see what Barry be up to, man. I get it. So now we have this in Big Blue area. And I'm being asked if I want to go to the game today, too. So that's another issue, too, with them playing the Patriots. So that is on the horizon potentially tonight, too. But your thoughts on your guy, Ryan Anderson, receiving a ban this week?
Who? By who? Hey, and Ryan Anderson?
Okay, that's what you're doing? That's what you're doing?
The backup to the backup? There ain't nobody thinking about no Ryan Anderson. I'm worried about Daniel Jones trying to get in the game. I ain't seen him all preseason. How does this dude have a scrubby year last year and then get the shit for the first two? He need all the reps that fool can get. I don't know what we talking about. Saquon coming off the ACL, fine. But Daniel Jones not getting any reps? Who the hell are you? I'm going to just stay here and pray. I'm going to pray. Jesus.
People leave church, start lying.
Yeah, because I was TP. I was gonna start cursing in here, but I was like, let me pray. In Father God's name, we pray. You know.
I feel like, seriously,
I dig it, Ryan Anderson. If you got caught, listen. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So I'm glad he was cheating to try and get on the field, because nobody.
We don't know you.
We don't believe you. You need more people. Like, we don't know who this dude is. So if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. But I mean, like, seriously, Giants got way other problems. Galladay looks like he's gonna be who he always been. What's that?
Wait, out of you, Mr. Pick on the Patriots, because they cheating and this stuff, are you doing this now?
No, I mean, like, seriously, like, this is one player on a whole roster, but nobody really knows who. If you had to pick this dude out of a lineup for $1 million, could you?
I mean, y'all
yeah,
pick him out of a lineup.
Nobody would.
He's Alabama linebacker. Wait, hold on. Wait, don't do this now. Don't
he
do this
was.
Now. Oh, man,
he
these
was.
People sell people down the river. This is bad.
I'm calling,
is...
baby. I'm selfish. I'm selfish. Then I don't. I mean, What do you want me to do? Like,
you
this guy's not. He's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the fact that our starting quarterback is about to get his first set of reps today. Like, we haven't seen Saquon Barkley. We haven't seen our new toys in Galladay yet because he's always hurt. We're seeing our number one pick that we probably shouldn't have got and probably should have got either Waddle or maybe even Parsons. We haven't seen anything from this kid yet. And anything we have seen hasn't been really good. So that's my big problem with Blake Blue right now. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sorry, Sports City, that you guys have to endure the situation of Barry acting irregular today, but it's okay. It's all right. I know how to adjust on the fly. Does anybody else want to talk about the Ryan Anderson situation? I just wanted to throw that at Barry before he started keep laughing at Aaron over here.
You know what I love about the NFL, right, and the fact that the Olympics are going on at the moment, and, like, Shaquille Richardson gets banned for, like, smoking marijuana in a legal place where you can smoke marijuana. And after the Russian team can't even call themselves Russia because they take steroids. And the NFL, I love the NFL so much because you do it and all you get is like a couple of games. You get a couple of games banned and that's it. Nobody ever talks about it again. It's just fantastic, right? Like Romanowski did it for years. People done it for years knowing that they'd only get four games. Coaches even tell players to do it. Take steroids, bulk yourself up. You know, we do without you for four games and come back and be a beast. It's phenomenal, isn't it? You know, you wouldn't hear about it anywhere else, but that's the NFL, baby.
I'd imagine so, man. I don't know how they're playing these games with, like, you know, drug use, PEDs, steroids, stuff like that, and how they use these bans and so on and so forth. It's just crazy, you know, that they're accepting it on some levels, some sports, you know, especially the way that the times are changing where they're, you know, letting people smoke marijuana in select states and people getting caught up in their drug tests and so on and so forth. But I just had to throw that at Barry. I had to. I mean, while he was getting his joke on.
You're a hero, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. You're a hero. That's how the heroes act. They just want to get on the villain. That's your hero.
Right. Right. Because you can't pick on other people. I got, you know, Aaron over there acting up, playing around. And see how he can get in trouble messing with a villain. You get what I'm saying? Even though he be trying to come for me, for both of y'all.
But serious, he was serious. I'm not joking. He was serious.
He was serious. He was. Well, he was playing around. He don't know what he's doing.
I'm serious, man. I'm serious.
No. Pineapple. They're gonna run plays. I don't know a run, but we'll see.
Yeah, right.
Listen. Sports City, I remember significantly, or in the words of Jay-Z, vividly, on what this kitchen did to him. I remember vividly when he did this and said that the Steelers were gonna beat the Jets. If I find this clip on how he came on air and was so wrong and did not want to talk at all.
I was
like,
so mad, bro. Why can't I finish talking? Let me finish.
So, I had a show going on, and Sirius finally called it like 5-10 minutes into the show, and you could tell like it was just gloomy around him. He like, yeah, I'm here, and I don't want that to happen. Like, I don't want to see that side of him no more. We grown, you know, people older now. I don't want to see that boy bitter no more. I don't. But another move that happened in the NFL, and I'm kind of interested by how this went down. The Jaguars traded Gardner Minshew to the Eagles for a pick, right? And not only is Trevor the starter, which is clear-cut now, but it's like it would have been good to have Gardner behind him and be like, and I hate to kind of say this like this, but be the Jeff Hostetler behind Phil Simms and still have power behind him while he has one of the better stories to me in, you know, his run in the NFL. And they send him to the Eagles to be a backup because I still feel like Hurts is still going to be the guy until – something potentially happened to Hurts, which I don't wish for, and I'm knocking on wood at the same time. But it's like you having a scenario where he had to help carry that team where you had nothing around him. They bring Trevor Lawrence in, and what if Trevor actually falls on his face? You know what I'm saying? Like, or if something happens to him, right. You got C.J. Beathard, who's not done anything in his NFL career. That's what bothers me right now. So this is a make or miss situation for that front office and Urban Meyer to put all of their eggs in one basket on Trevor Lawrence right now. And the hit that he took the other day up against the Saints, it doesn't please me to see that he's ready to run and deal with this, but this is what makes Trevor Lawrence different. So this is like a seesaw scenario on how I feel about this, and I want to see how you guys feel about it. I'll start with you first on this one, James. Your thoughts on the Gardner Minshew move, and was it smart by the Jags or not?
So, I mean, when we're talking about Gardner Minshew, this is a guy who said he hasn't taken to paraphrase, a crap in a couple of weeks because number two isn't an option. So I don't know how helpful he would have been to Trevor Lawrence and his development. So I think they moved him to the place in which he was most likely to compete for a starting job, which is Philadelphia right now. And that's fine. I mean, Minshew's a low-level starting quarterback. He'll be a high-level backup quarterback. That's who he is. Is it a good move by the Jaguars? Probably. I would imagine so. Like, I know it was only a six-round pick, but sometimes you can turn that into something. It's better to get something for him now than have him walk and get nothing for him later. So I think it's fine.
That's out the way. Roger, how about you? You know, I mean, I want to see. I may be the only one that feels a certain way of, like, emotion for this guy that has stayed in Jacksonville, man. Especially, he was a phenom while he was down there, like, making a name for himself, and them just get rid of him is another thing, too. I mean, anybody feel a certain way, or I can get away from him.
Real quick.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think Gardner Minshew would be the perfect complement for Trevor Lawrence, too, because I think he's kind of heady guy, high IQ. In a conversation with Nas last night, he said something that I think has some definite merit, too. I wish he'd had another veteran in the locker room now. But the thing is, Minshew did pretty well for them, and with that mustache and whatever else, kind of became sort of a cult figure and very popular around there. And so I think that the organization's fear is if Trevor Lawrence struggles and goes through some growing pains in that first year, there's going to be increasing pressure by that fan base to play Minshew to try to win, especially if that division continues to be mediocre. That being said, though I can see that, I do think that a guy like Minshew is a very good complement to a young quarterback. I think he'll be valuable to Jalen Hurts in the locker room, and I think he would have been good for Lawrence. So I kind of hate to see that, and I think it's interesting now that you not only did they trade him, but I mean it was only for a 6-round draft pick. It's not for it's not like it was for a lot, and so you know I hope they're right, but they're definitely putting all their eggs in this basket. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. And or, you know, what this could mean for Minshew in his career in Philly. You know, does he ever have a chance to play some there based on how things pan out?
Hey, yo, so let me ask you guys this question, all right? Is this Gardner Minshew situation a shot in the arm for him or a bigger indictment on how badly the backup quarterback situation is right now in Philly? Keep in mind, if we're going to go with the theory that, you know, they needed a veteran to come alongside and work with Jalen Hurts, you can't get any more veteran than Joe Flacco.
Let me jump in. Philadelphia. Look at the team. That's won a Super Bowl because of a backup quarterback, right? So, I mean, Howie Roseman, the GM, he's brought them in knowing that they relied on St. Nick a couple of years ago to win a Super Bowl. There's no team knows how valuable a backup quarterback is. So I mean there's that situation. And you know, Nick Sirianni comes from Frank Reich, also a backup quarterback. They know how valuable a backup quarterback is. Definitely some truth in that, I think. Getting him out to Jacksonville, away from the fan base he's created there. getting that pressure off Trevor Lawrence. I think that's huge. So, yeah, there's a few reasons for there, but I just, you know, it's a six that can turn into a fifth round if he plays 50% of the plays in three games. So, you know, in a COVID age as well, that's just smart. That's just smart because, you know, a player can get COVID and will have to miss time. So you've got him coming off the bench. So I think it's just a great move by Philadelphia and Howie Roseman again. A good move. But, yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah, you know, I kind of look at it. I look at it like it's an indictment on Flacco, TP. Like, I didn't see anything from him in the Jets game that I actually watched. I didn't watch a lot of preseason. I didn't see anything from that game or the Patriots game that would make me say that this guy is anywhere. He's like Adrian Peterson. It's a wrap. Like, let's just put him out the pasture, and that's it. Like, I didn't see anything from him. So for the Eagles to get a solid backup for Hurts, who might be in and out of the lineup for inexperience or, you know, injury or what have you, it's a good backup to have, a guy that has experience. But if I'm the Jags, the only reason I'm making that deal is the possible draft pick. I don't understand why there's no pressure on Lawrence to win the job. And I don't think anybody thought that Lawrence wasn't. He's the number one pick. Like, how is he not, his job not secure for the next couple years? So, I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know what Urban Meyer is doing. I think he's rubbing players the wrong way down there. I think he's a career college coach that made a mistake in going to the pros, and I think this is probably the start of it. Like, bringing in Tebow was a joke. Like, this kind of move to me doesn't make sense for the Jaguars other than the draft pick. I think Urban Meyer is in trouble. I don't see him coaching that team very much longer.
Blasphemy about Tebow. You can't say that.
Wow.
Yeah, but Tebow's not a tight end. He's 30-something years old and never played that position. He should have played that position 10 years ago, and he would have been better off. Now he wants to come back. Listen, we knew he wasn't going to take a roster spot for anybody, Rodri. Like, he wasn't going to be the tight end on that team. But to bring him in, it's like a sideshow. It's a freak show. Like, what is Urban Meyer trying to do? I don't get it.
That he wasn't going to make the 53. Yeah. I thought he may have made the 53. I knew he wouldn't start, but I was pretty sure when Tebow signed with Jacksonville that he was going to make the 53. If not for nothing, because he put butt in seats and fans in fans. You know what I'm saying?
This is the guy that says the Colts are the Super Bowl contenders, mind you. Mind you.
This guy hasn't even coached a game yet, so let's not necessarily call it a freak show yet and say for sure he's not going to coach. So I think your prediction is right, and he's going to find out that it's a big, different ball game at the pro level. He's going to find out what a lot of other people have found out, and I doubt he's going to have a lot of success. But, I mean, let's hold our fire at least for a minute.
Yeah, but we're already hearing that it's not a good look right now. And he's rubbing players the wrong way in Jacksonville already. And the season hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, that offensive line, they're not going to put up with it either. That offensive line's a veteran offensive line. They ain't going to like the way he's coming in. And I'm hearing stuff also, Barry, I'm hearing that they are not enjoying his ways. And if he loses the line, and that's just bad for Trevor Lawrence, and then that can be a knock-on effect, of the detrimental knock-on effect for the whole squad. But I don't know. It's worth keeping an eye on.
Okay. We are at the end of this show. You guys have cooked. They jam-packed this doggone brunch. I didn't get to everything that I needed to, but it's good. I need plugs, anything that you like to promote on the way out, but I need a winner for today. Who wins the fight, Jake Paul or Tyron Woodley? Or am I out of line even asking this question? I want to see how you guys feel about this as we leave the building. But I need plugs, anything that you guys would like to promote as we get ready to shut this brunch down. I'll start with the guy overseas first, my brother Rodri. Thank you for coming to the brunch. September is here, so I know this is your month. Birthday boy will be coming soon. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote, and your thoughts on the fight. Who wins, Tyron Woodley or Jake Paul?
Yeah, I'm not even going to comment. Tyrone Woodley for me. I mean, look, Jake Paul, come on. I mean, he's doing okay. I mean, that was Mayweather, come on. I mean, that wasn't. I paid for that. I actually paid money to watch that. I'm not gonna fall for it again. I hope Woodley just teaches this kid that it's disrespectful to boxing, for a start. But I mean, it's just disrespectful. I'm sick of it. I want Conor McGregor to kick his ass inside or outside the ring. I thought Cormier was gonna do it, but fair play to him. He knows what he's doing. He's making his money. He's using social media for what it is today. So I can't take that away from him. But I don't care. I mean, it's like two kids down the street fighting, as far as I'm concerned. It's the same thing. It's like, you know, I don't care. It's like, he's not a professional fighter. It's like, you know, what is he doing for the sport? But people are tuning in to watch it, Ty. And it's, you know, boys, it's like, is this where we are now with the sport? I'm a bit scared for that. To be honest with combat sports in general, I hope it's not the way forward, and I hope it stops, because, you know, it is changing the sport. But other than that, we got a final division show tomorrow. Myself and Mr. Greenwood. It's a controversy. Love listening to your boys speak. Love listening to you enjoying yourself and laughing. More it's great. I've had fun today. Good coming on. God bless you all. And thanks for the month's shout out. Yeah, birthday month. Get up there now, bro. Have a good one.
For sure. For you two are in good, I guess it's good evening over there now, since it's like 6 there. So good evening to you over there as well. September's coming for this guy. Stay tuned. Mr. Simmons, give me a plug, close out, shout out. I don't know who has a gun to you, but please leave him alone. If you're in the Virginia area, please go save a Simmons. Please. I need y'all to save him. Malik needs his father. Like, as much as I feel bad for Malik and everything he's going through, Malik needs his dad, man. He does. So anything that you like to plug, promo, and who do you like in this fight as well?
Yo, it's your boy Sears up in that 412-703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Sunday Brunch, man. Here's the deal. Football is here. You know, there's nothing like it, you know, across, you know, different languages, different nationalities, race, creed. Sports unifies, man. Don't know if other sport do it like football, man. No other sport do it like football. If you play fantasy, DraftKings, whatever, no other sport does it. So I'm glad football is here. Again, prayers up to those that have hurt, you know, got hurt, J.K. Dobbins. Again, I'm still a fan. I don't like you. You went to Ohio State. I'm a Penn State fan. I don't like you from the rip, but I don't want you to see you get hurt, man. So that being said, big ups to him. T.Y., get better. Definitely check us out, man, www.sportscityshow.com, man. We do football a little differently around here. We come in hot, you know what I'm saying? We come in hot every year. So be on the lookout for, you know, all the stuff that's about to drop. Blogs will be coming out like crazy. Shows are going to be coming out like crazy. Merchandise, man. Definitely check that out. Check out the cats on Clubhouse, man. Barbershop. Shout out to TP, the homie Move and Company. You know what I'm saying? If you like what you heard here, you get a lot more of that, plus some clownery. A lot more clownery over there. So definitely check us out. A lot of us that were here today, you know, go over there and do the same damn thing, man. It's a lot of fun, man. So definitely check that out. Yo, December will be here. I ain't worried about September. December will be here. Your boy going to Vegas. I can't wait, man. Definitely check that out, man. Your boy says it's out, man. Y'all be good.
Okay. Mr. Greenwood, I need a plug, closeout, shout out, anything that you like to promote. And Sears didn't give me a winner on a doggone fight. See, that's how crazy stuff goes around. He talking about a lot of clownery. Look, that's the clownery, right? I'm telling you, this dude be playing around. He play around. He call it those things, but he plays around. So Mr. Greenwood, excuse me, you had your turn. We gave you the whole stage to do what you wanted to do. You didn't do it right. So, Mr. Greenwood, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote. And who do you like in the fight as well?
I mean, I don't know enough about the participants to talk really about the fight, but I'm just going to go with not Jake Paul. I mean, that's about as far as I go with it. But tomorrow we will be talking about the AFC West division and the best offseason move, in my opinion, of course. Other than that, I had a lot of fun. Talk to you guys next week. Peace.
Okay. Mike, give me a plug, close out, shout out. We shut the doors here at the brunch.
Hey, man, first of all, always a pleasure to catch up with you guys. Real quick, interesting stat in the history of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, California Angels, whatever you want to call that franchise. There's never been a guy before yesterday that hit 40 home runs and steal 20 bases in one season. The great Mike Trout never did it. Nobody else has before Shohei Ohtani this year. That's just an interesting, fun stat to me that I thought was kind of nice. 40 and 20, and the man also brings gas on the mound. Like, pretty exciting stuff to see. Lots of other things to get to throughout the week, man. I appreciate everybody from Sports City Chef, Sirius, Barry, James, all you guys, man. I've always been welcome on stages with you guys, and if it wasn't for Mr. TP, I wouldn't be here with you guys. So always happy to chop it up and cook in the kitchen with you guys. Look forward to catching up on some more shows. Obviously, check out the barbershop on Clubhouse, but also the barbershop. We're also on IG and other places, and so check us out. We got a lot of exciting things coming in the future. More football previews, as my man said earlier, and just lots of good content coming up. So stay plugged in and stay tuned, and we look forward to continuing to bring more content as we move forward.
Okay, Villain, since you were crying all day about me, and nobody's giving me a winner on these doggone fights, man. Everybody's just going, I guess I'm the only one. So
I got you, bro. My bad,
okay,
man. I want Woodley to win. I really do want Woodley to win the fight. He kind of really struggled before, so it's kind of tough. So I'm going to pick Woodley with my heart. My head doesn't know, but I want Woodley to win. So I'm going to pick him. I'm going to try to speak it into
existence. I got to let Barry go, and then I go. Barry, give me a plug, close out, shout out, and a winner for the fight tonight.
Yeah, I don't care about that fight. Jake Paul makes me sick. He's a minstrel show, so I'm not going to comment on that fight. Listen, we got fantasy football coming, man. Fantasy for Sports City, Mike. If you want to get in, come in. Hit me up later. Sirius is ducked out because he's scared of the Villain. I established that on Wednesday, and I will keep reiterating that and to kind of coax him into playing fantasy, but he probably won't. But either way, I still win because I'll just keep saying he's afraid of the Villain. But we got everybody sign up. We're gonna have some fun, money on the line, a little fantasy football back at Sports City. So we'll do a live show, a live draft show over the air. That should be fun. But yeah, listen, get to the website. I got to start writing again. I'm probably gonna write a little article today and preview the NFC East at some point. With my sorry Giants and the hateful Cowboys and Eagles. But get to the site. Got blogs and interviews there. Shout out to the Barbershop, Clubhouse. Those guys do a great job. Make sure you get in there and listen to them if you want to get in and talk. They're always fun to chop it up with. Get to the website for the merchandise. We got hats on the way. We got a lot of merchandise for you to buy. Sports City, we do shows all week, Baseball Buffet, the Callers Cookout, NFL Free-for-All. We have a lot of fun. I'm sure TP is going to do a college football show at some point, so I'll be on the lookout for that. But listen, we're doing a lot, man, and I love it here. And TP, you are the man, even though I give you a hard time. So I'm out. Peace.
Man, I got a shout-out, y'all. Oh, my goodness. First and foremost, I'd like to thank God. Without him, none of this would be possible. Shout-out to my mom, you know, Miss Powell. You know, we did it, Mom. I got this far. To Barry to give me a shout-out on the brush. This is beautiful. I don't know what these people. for me to pick a winner for this fight, Jake Paul has a hell of a knockout punch. Like, I can't take it away from him for all that he's trained for. I have to go with the underdog, though, because he's a trained fighter. Like, with him actually adding more boxing to him, it's like, you know, you can't miss. But if he gets caught, it's going to be interesting if he gets laid out. Because that's all Jake Paul is fighting for. I don't think Jake Paul boxes. I think he's more or less the knockout puncher. And the first three fights that he's had up against some guy named Gim, then Nate Robinson, and then Ben Askren. I mean, the Nate Robinson one was funny. The Gim guy was, like, an interesting boxer, but he was like 2-4, like already had his losses. And Ben Askren, that was a joke. Like that was a joke of a fight. Like, he need to give a fight altogether. So now this is like an interesting fight if he beats Tyron Woodley. I feel like his stardom will start following around him. But I feel like Woodley can't afford to lose this fight because he's been losing like crazy in UFC. He can't lose here now because if he loses here, he might as well just wrap everything up and just call it a career. So I'm going to go Woodley to save his career and actually inspire Jake to, like, fight more because this would probably be an interesting loss. But if he beats Woodley, which I feel like it end up happening, he's going to probably be on top of the world talking more junk than a little bit. And what he did to his mom with all of these – his boys talking junk to Miss Woodley, that's a whole nother thing, but that's another issue for another day. Great show, great energy, great environment. Everybody came back out to the kitchen. At least seven or six of us were here, too, so it's going to be pretty interesting to see how this thing goes down. Fantasy football, I already got one team. I think I'm in three fantasy leagues right now. This is beyond me, and for the past, I think, 6 years, I left fantasy alone just because I knew I was spending so much money doing it. Now I'm back at it, so... here I go. Here goes fantasy comics as well. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Chefs. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs. Yeah. Cabby. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.